Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. It's great to have all of you with us. We are talking about Al-Quds Day, the International Al-Quds Day. And in order to talk about the International Al-Quds Day, its importance and some of its different dimensions, we have invited Sheikh Muzaffar Haider from the United Kingdom to be with us and discuss this post Al-Quds Day rallies. Let's go ahead and welcome him. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the show, Sheikh Muzaffar Haider.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. It's good to be here, man.
It's good to be here. Thank you. Jazakallah khair. This post Al-Quds Day, so when we release yesterday was the Al-Quds Day rally, the Friday, the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan. And it's interesting, we had released a talk show one day before the International Al-Quds Day, where we talked to people and we kind of, you know, suggested that they go out there and they become part of rallies.
Said, you know, I haven't recovered from it.
Yeah, I'm still tired. It was so tiring. I mean, it was so amazing and so fulfilling. Also, you know, you feel like, you know, you did at least some small part of your responsibility.
Alhamdulillah.
And we saw how on this last Friday and on the day of Al-Quds, so many people came out from all parts of the world,
yeah,
you know.
Really good to see that.
And especially in Western countries, we had a lot of rallies in the United States. We had a lot of rallies, for example, in the UK, where you're from, in different places across Europe, in different countries across the Muslim world, including the Islamic Republic. I mean, it was something really refreshing and really something that gives you a lot of hope.
Do you know
when
what?
You see these.
It doesn't make sense. If I was AI right now, like, and I was just trying to analyze the world, there is no like tangible reason that I can pinpoint and say that Iman should have decreased.
Right, over the
people's
years.
Resolve and revolutionary spirit should have gone down.
Right, sure.
Then you can look at any element of society, right? You can look at the way that the mainstream media is pounding people with anti-Islamic sentiments, with Islamophobia but let's put that aside. Okay, let's look at the education system and how it's indoctrinating people. Okay, let's put that aside. But then let's look at how people have so much access to media in today's world like never before, which means that you have so much free time that you can actually just kill, just destroy by playing some of the best games. Like, when I think about it, I get a little bit excited myself. I get withdrawal symptoms sometimes, you know, because I used to be a gamer like crazy. Yeah. I used to be proper addicted to these games.
You get really addicted to games.
Addicted,
it's something about them. And it's I know it's kind of a tangent, but, you know, along those lines, they're really these kind of video games, even music and even movies, I think, in general, they have addictive factor to them, where, for example, Star Wars, it's like it has become a never-ending series.
They've killed it.
The
though,
rest of
they?
Your life, you
they
know. But yeah,
what
you were saying you were talking about gaming. Yeah.
But my point was that look, they have so many things to not only attack Islam with, but then at the same time to distract the masses with, and at the same time, you know, mashallah, social media is full, like chock full of people who are voicing their opinions for Palestine and against the Zionist occupation.
Yes.
That in itself is such a huge miracle. I mean, I posted this on my Instagram the other day, but my mother-in-law, she forwarded a pro-Palestinian post on like one of these groups. And I was like, what the heck is going on here? Because she is, you know, God bless you. God bless you if you're watching. I love you. May Allah, you know, iltimas dua and everything. But you know, but her and her generation generally, and especially those who are older than her as well, you know, my grandmother's generation, they are people who you would expect to not get involved in this kind of stuff, you know?
Right, they're more traditional.
But then they are posting pro-Palestinian stuff. Okay, at the very least, we told them that, you know, you need to be doing dua for the sake of the oppressed. But they're taking that extra step and actually, you know, posting things, which is actively engaging in the soft war now. So we see that level of the kind of traditional mindset, Shia Muslims and even Sunni Muslims, they're actually upgrading. And I don't know, to me, that is a miracle.
And it definitely is a miracle. If you look at the propaganda war that has been waged by the Zionists over the initial years, right, of the inception of the Zionist regime, you will see that they were winning this media propaganda war, right? And the Muslims, on the other hand, they were very weak as far as media, social media, as far as getting the news out there, what's going on, what's the reality. And of course, we didn't have the means, as much as the Western world did. But you see now that the Muslims have access to a lot of these, medium, they are creating awareness, and the people all are realizing what the reality on the ground is.
I would actually have to disagree with that, Sayed.
Okay, sure.
I think what we're seeing is a people power here.
Right.
But in terms of media, we are still weak. I would say
that we are still weak.
Shia
yes.
Muslims are so weak. I would even classify us as being at the bottom of the food chain.
Right.
Even some people who have the worst religions or the most false religions, they have the best media and the most powerful media. They're reaching masses. And when I say masses, I'm saying that they are reaching millions.
Millions of people.
Like
right.
tens of millions at a time. You know, and you know, look at evangelical Christian groups in the USA. Look at even the Zionists through other things as well, through Hollywood and look at Bollywood, right? You've got Hindu religion, but look at the media platforms that they have. When you look at the Shia Muslim world, even the Muslim world generally, let's face it, we're pretty, pretty shallow.
Quite weak,
but
yes.
Okay, now that's a very good point that you've raised there. Despite that, even though our media is so weak,
yes,
we're seeing this people power.
Right.
Who made it like this? Who made it like this?
Who made it like
this? It was Imam Khomeini who made it like this. This is Imam Khomeini. This is what Imam Khomeini did. This is the miracle of Imam Khomeini. Imam Khomeini shows us that if even one person, إِنَّمَا عَيْذُكُمْ بِوَاحِدًا أَن تَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ مَثْنَى وَفُرَادًا. The Quran says, I only urge you to one thing, that you stand for the sake of Allah in your pairs or even on your own. Imam Khomeini, he shows us that if just one person rises to the challenge, one person believes, and one of the remarkable traits of Imam Khomeini is that he really did believe in the promises of Allah. Imam Khomeini did that, and today we're seeing the repercussions across the Muslim world.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's interesting, you brought up Imam Khomeini. Imam Khomeini came up with this Al-Quds Day, or I don't know if he... Well, yes, he called it Yom Al-Quds, right? The day for Quds. But here, I think, unfortunately, we have limited Al-Quds to this one Yom Al-Quds, right? Mm. So out of all the days of the year, we focus on this one day, and alhamdulillah, you know, there are a few of us who do focus on this day. There are still, you know, some I would call fringe elements who kind of ignore Al-Quds.
But you know what, Sayed? They're irrelevant. They are so irrelevant.
In the modern time, yeah, they've become
You know
irrelevant.
What? They are more they are so irrelevant that alhamdulillah, for you saw it yourself, and everybody sees it every year, we see alhamdulillah,
year, yeah.
that there are not only Shia Muslims there's Sunni Muslims there.
Right.
Not only Sunni Muslims there, but Christian brethren there. Not only Christians there, but you see Jews there. Not only Jews, but you see people who don't even have a religion.
Exactly.
Joining. Why? Because they understand the basic premise.
Right.
That human beings should be stood up for. They understand the basic idea that even if you don't believe in God or the hereafter, at least believe in living free.
Right.
They understand this basic humanitarian concept, and because of that, they're united. Rest assured, and I tell all the brothers and sisters out there, you need to look at those who were with you during Al-Quds Day, because when you see those faces and those organizations which are involved in Quds Day, these are your actual allies.
Exactly.
These are the ones that you need to be united with.
Exactly.
Muhammadur Rasulullah walladhina ma'ahu ashiddau 'alal kuffar rahma'u bainahum. It says Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those with him are firm and harsh against the disbelievers, the kuffar, and they are compassionate among themselves. right? You look around and you see all these faces and they're all standing up for the same cause as you are. They are making sacrifices for the same cause that you are. Many of them may not be fasting because they're not even Muslim, but that's okay because they were ready to make a stand for the cause that concerns everybody in the world today. While many of those who say that they are Shia don't even care about it.
They're irrelevant. But what I was going to go for was that we need to move this from an Al-Quds day to a full-out Al-Quds movement.
Mm.
365 days a year. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you hold rallies every single day of the year. But, you know, what are we doing on a regular and continuous basis to make this thing aware, you know? Mm. So we have this huge awareness for one day and then we just kind of put it on the back burner for the, you know, 364 other days of the year. No, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this.
That's a good point.
Is that we should make this into a movement where we are now continuously voicing these concerns regarding the oppression that's happening to the Palestinians.
Well, alhamdulillah, revolutionaries, as soon as the month of Ramadan kicks in, they start thinking about Palestine, they start thinking about our brothers who are suffering out there across the world as well.
Yeah.
But I think what we need to do is take the next step now, and now that Quds Day has passed,
right,
start thinking about the next Quds Day from now.
Right.
And I do feel like there's a huge amount of wisdom in trying to get ourselves to think in this way, because Imam Khamenei himself has said that there's not going to be anything like the Zionist regime. Israel's not even going to exist by 2040, maximum,
right,
by 2040, right?
Right?
Which only gives us a limited number of years before, you know, Palestine is actually free, inshallah. Now, we have to start asking ourselves, how do we want to be remembered when that future comes? And it's very close, right? How do we want the angels to note down whether we supported the oppressed or not before the oppressor gets vanquished?
Right, you which know, is a certainty.
Lots of people, as soon as Palestine is free, you're going to see all of these fringe elements, right? All of these
irrelevant people who had no footprint, no affiliation.
They never worked for the cause, they never fought for the cause, they never spoke up for Quds Day. Suddenly they're all going to jump on board.
Yeah. We were with you all along.
No, we were with you all along, right? The Quran talks about precisely this element, this mentality that they have.
Sure.
Guys, we don't need you anymore. Palestine is already liberated.
Right.
No, but they're all going to jump on.
Right.
Success drives.
It's interesting. I mean, I'm kind of...
We don't want to be one of those people.
We don't want to be one of
those
people.
We want to do as much as we can before the success comes.
It kind of reminds me of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, right? So it's like after he was martyred and then the Tawabin came and they were like, no, you know, I'm so sorry. We wish we were with you and we love you. And this is like, wait a minute. The time to have done an action, the time to have stood up was when the present time was occurring in Imam Hussein's time, right? It wasn't after he was martyred that, you know, it's as you said, irrelevant.
Yeah, it's a classic problem that we often have, right? We only appreciate somebody once they're gone, they've left the dunya. That's when we start to appreciate them.
Right.
You know, right now we love Imam Ali alayhi salam. In the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam, he's telling his people, you know, saluni, ask me.
Before
and the guy says, you know, before you lose me. And the guy says, how many hairs are on my head, you know, to mock the imam. That was us, okay? We need to stop saying, oh, no, they were bad, but we're different. No, that's
us. We're acting
us
in the same way.
We're exactly the same as those people back then. Imam Hassan alayhi salam, same thing happened. His people don't appreciate him. Now we say Imam Hassan. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we saw what happened in Karbala, only 72. Those who were with him were with him and they were the best of companions.
Right.
But other than that, the rest of the people abandoned the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam. If they had not, and it's the same throughout the Imams, right? If the people had not abandoned the Imams, there would be no need for ghaybah.
Mm.
Right? There would have been no need for Allah to take the 12th Imam into ghaybah.
Right.
The mere fact that he is in ghaybah right now shows us that we still have those same shortcomings that the people of the past had.
Right, right. I want to kind of take it back to Al-Quds. In this, excuse me, in this holy month of Ramadan, we witnessed that The Zionist regime and their soldiers were constantly attacking Palestinians. They were constantly attacking the Al-Quds compound and the Al-Quds complex, as it's known, right? And to me, what was really kind of sickening about this, of course, from the human rights and all these things, these were all Muslims that were fasting. You know, so it's like these people had nothing to drink, they had nothing to eat, right? In the middle of the day, these, you know, Zionist soldiers come and they start to attack these guys, and it's like, what, I don't know, how low a human being can fall that they are willing to do this kind of stuff. You know, so for example, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm fasting all day long, then you come with a baton and you know, you start beating me up for whatever reason. I mean, it's really kind of beyond cruel. I don't know if you want to comment on that.
I don't know what to say. I mean, it really is.
It really is beyond cruel, you know? It's like, why don't you wait till after the month of Ramadan, right, excuse me, where the other guy is satiated, you know, he's had his drink of water and his juice, and he's had his food, he's got the strength to fight you back. Why would you fight against an individual who is clearly much weaker than you are? Clearly. It's oppression on a huge scale.
Two things come to mind. First of all, a reminder of the way that Yazid behaved.
Yeah, interesting.
The way that Muawiyah blocked the soldiers of Imam Ali alayhi salam from the river.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
The way that Abu Sufyan, before them as well, the way that Fir'aun behaved, yeah.
The Shebe Abi Talib, where they stopped the Muslims from...
These tyrants have always been Machiavellian in nature. They will do anything to maintain their own power. That's right. The first thing that comes to mind. The second thing is, Zionists do not like you. They don't like you, they don't like me. We are literally like animals to them.
Right.
Okay? And it's very difficult for people who are listening out there, who are watching this right now, to really get your head around that. But if you try to understand the way that the mind of a psychopath works, they can literally torture you to death in front of, like, they can watch you screaming in agony, you screaming in pain, and they will not even feel a slight bit of guilt or, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this. They have no conscience. They've just switched that part of their brain off, okay? Now, you can understand that through certain horror movies that you might watch. But when you watch it there, you're like, oh, okay, this is what a psychopath is. You have to understand that these same psychopaths are actually in power. They are in government. They are, you know, authority powers and systems in the world. And the worst among them are the Zionists.
Right.
They can literally tear a child from limb to limb and not even care about it.
Which is what's happening in the present day. In Palestine, on the ground, this is what's happening. Sheikh Muzaffar Haider, every time we talk, it just seems like, you know, that as the conversation starts to get really interesting, we get close to towards the end of the program. I don't know if you have any other, you know, conclusionary thoughts when it comes to this Al-Quds and how Al-Quds occurred, and it was so magnificent, it was so nice to see the people come out, and this idea that, you know, we shouldn't limit it to just this one day. We should continuously be in this mode of freeing Al-Quds.
I was in a protest, I believe it's Al-Quds Day, in the UK, London, right? And this counter-protest demonstrator came up to us. He was wearing a Zionist Israeli flag, and he had loads of drums and stuff, and he looked like a complete clown. And he came up to our protest, knowing that the police will protect him, and he just started making noise and stuff. Some of our people, you know, the Sunnis, the Shias, the Muslims, the Christians, the Jews on our side, got extremely aggravated. And I remember feeling it myself. I wanted to punch this guy in the face. How dare you show your support for the Zionists, the worst people in the world. But one of our brothers, I believe he was from Iraq or Syria, I can't remember.
Yeah.
He did something amazing, man. You know what he did? He just started going, whoa! He jumped up onto the railing and he just went, yeah! Whoa! Like in a completely exaggerated way, right?
Right, right.
To make this clown, and the clown was just like, first he got a bit scared. He was like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
But then he was like, when he was trying to make his own noise, this brother, his noise just outdid his noise.
Right.
And it just made this guy look like a complete stupid.
Right.
It made him like, it was genuinely so funny seeing this scene, right? In this way, he got rid of any tension that was in the air, right? Because he actually made us laugh.
Mm-hmm.
He also mocked the enemy, which we need to learn to do. And he also allowed the protest and the congregation to continue onwards without there being any unnecessary disruptions.
Interesting.
So that's just a thought I wanted to throw out there. Next Quds Day, inshallah, we have to think really carefully about how we're going to draw more attention. The mainstream media is against us. They are not going to give proper coverage to any of the demonstrations that we have out there. We have to use the power that is in our hands, our phones. We need to take videos, but not just post them. Do things to make it more exciting. Have discussions like these ones, where you can actually promote the ideas of the revolution out there. And may Allah bless each and every one of you. And, you know, I thank everybody in the world. And alhamdulillah. And, you know, may Allah give us more tawfiq, inshallah.
Inshallah. Thank you, Shaykh Muzaffar Haider, for taking time out of your busy schedule and joining us on the program. And for us here at Islamic Pulse, that's about it on this post-Al-Quds Day Islamic Pulse talk show. Of course, do your best. And inshallah, until another talk show, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.